Om Shanti. This morning we have the pleasure of having Brother Ken to give us a class. And most of you must be knowing Brother Ken. He's based in Brazil. He's one of the original jewel of the Foreign Service. And he has taken the knowledge, I think, in London, but doing the service in all the South American countries, Central America, and some of the, he's our neighbor from Caribbean. And so he's doing a lot of service. He's RCO also. And I feel very proud of introducing him as one of our original jewel in this Baba's knowledge, and especially in Foreign Service. And I think after listening to his class, you will know him yourself, how learned and how much wisdom he has. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Thanks, Hemlata Ben. That was a pleasant surprise. You don't generally get introduced. The subject of trust is a huge one. And I think that I know from my own experience that if there's an atmosphere of trust in our centers, then definitely we'll attract people. And perhaps that's exactly, you know, I remember once we were sitting in a small group in the days when Baba used to meet small groups. And he invited us to make some questions. So can you imagine a question and answer session with God? It's like he said, children, do you have any questions? I think it was in 1984. And I remember that I made the question, how can we make the atmosphere of our centers powerful? And Baba looked at us and he said, be powerful yourselves. But how do we really create power? Of course it's through meditation. But how do we sustain it? I think the great sustaining force in our centers is trust. Baba trusted us with a huge task. And he called basically very simple, common people to his cause. If he wanted to do his task quickly, in the way that they do things in the world, he would have called the best marketing people, the best speakers, the best writers, the best administrators with PhDs, you know, at huge universities. Get the most qualified people in a Lockic way for a task, then perhaps we would have already been on CNN and so on. But Baba didn't call those people. He called simple people. And if you think about the task, it's a huge one, no less than transforming the world. And the fact that Baba trusts us completely with that task, actually, because he can't act directly, he has to act through us. He has to make us act so that we can change the way the world is. Have you ever had a relationship with someone, or do you have a relationship with someone which is built on trust? And you find that there are no excess thoughts If you trust someone and they trust you, there is no excess, there's no waste. You don't have to think twice. And Baba didn't think twice when he called each one of us. But sometimes we think twice about the people around us. You know, the other Brahmins nearby. Now, okay, Baba called me, but why did he call him or her? And when I think of trust, it's like the practical application of faith. When you apply faith practically, in a practical situation, it becomes trust. And the other day I saw a beautiful image of two mountain climbers. One was higher up with a firm hold on something, and the other one below with not so firm hold on the rock, but being pulled up to a higher level. And of course, in that, you're giving your life, right? The one below is giving his life to the one above. Take my hand. And so, with relation to Baba, there are two things that come to mind when we think of trust. The first one is when we become instruments in his service, then we really know how much Baba trusts us. If we're watching others doing the service, we will never know what Baba's real trust is. We have to step forward and claim that right so that Baba starts to use us as instruments in our own way. Maybe it can be at a limited level or even an unlimited level like the daddies. But as you start to see how God uses you as his instrument, then you start to have more trust, not only in him, but in yourself. The faith that you have in Baba, like this morning he says, I am the purifier. I've come to take you back home. I've come to take you to Shantidham. I've come to create one religion and destroy all the others. Those affirmations, which are very powerful in themselves, you can really only follow that and feel it in practice as you become Baba's instrument. Because if Baba's a purifier, we are his instruments to help purify. If Baba is the one taking souls back home, I'm helping Baba to take souls back home. If Baba is giving the knowledge, I'm helping him to give the knowledge to others. So that's how you can see when faith becomes trust. Faith is like, okay, yeah, Baba is Baba, the Gyan is powerful, it's right, it's true. But then I start to trust it when I become the instrument of it. And the other aspect of trust in Baba comes with the surrender. And that's why that image of the mountain climbers reminded me. Because the one below is putting his life into the hands of the one above to be pulled up. So as we surrender, we give our lives into Baba's hands and he pulls us up to a higher level. It's like total trust. Trust is when you're not theoretical in your faith anymore. Baba says in the Mooli, I give you a guarantee. And you experience that guarantee, so you trust it. It's in a sense also, it's faith in our fortune that Baba's given me such a huge fortune, then, I mean, how can I not trust it? It's in fact, in the same way, the word trustee that Baba uses so much, what are we trustees of? We're trustees of what Baba's given us. Even if we have something in our lives, you know, from our work or from our karma, it's the fortune that we got through doing good acts which God taught us at one point. Whatever I have that's good, it's probably something that's created now. It's a leftover from the last cycle. So Baba has given me everything, literally. Maybe not directly, but the good karma that I did throughout the cycle, that I learnt at the confluence of the last cycle, brought me back again. And the condition of beginning in Baba's service is related to that fortune. So if I trust Baba, I have to trust the fortune. Did Baba make a mistake when he called me? Huh? You can also, if faith is related to trust, then doubt is related to a lack of self-confidence, isn't it? Have you ever asked yourself, what am I doing here? Huh? When you came along at the beginning, let's be honest, did that thought come to you? Where have I landed? Who are these strange people? How come I'm dressed up in white? No. Did you ever think like that? Yes or no? Hands up. Okay. Hands up those who had not one doubt from the very beginning. Okay. Very good. So, and the others who didn't put their hands up. But these two things exemplify the trust that we have in God. It's the instrument consciousness and the surrender. Give our lives into the lives of someone to the extent that you don't even think about the future, don't even worry about the future. When I was called, this was in 1979, Daddy and Didi, Daddy Janki mentioned this morning, she was the administrative head at the time with Daddy Kumarka, and they called me. And in those days, very few foreigners had any experience of service, basically. And I'd gone back to Australia and got a centre started in Sydney. So they had received an invitation to go to Brazil. And I mean, I'd never thought, never dreamed of anything like that. But because I had trust, everything that had happened until now just worked so magically. We were in Australia, there were no senior sisters around. And so we had to have trust in Baba, basically. He was in charge of everything. And in a very short time, everything happened. And it was a wonderful experience to be useful to God for something and to experience being used. To the extent that there were no doubts that everything until now has worked so marvelously, Daddy and Didi called me and said, would you like to go to Brazil? We've got an invitation. And I didn't even hesitate for one second. It was like, they are Baba's instruments, so therefore Baba wants me to go to Brazil. Therefore, Baba trusts me for something or the other. If I'm the one being called to do something, honored and feeling the privilege of such trust, then I don't need to think about what's going to happen there even. And that's exactly what happened. And a few days after that, Baba came. And in those days, it was personal meetings every time. So I went to Baba and I said, "Baba, you want me to go to South America? You have any special instructions for me?" And he said, "Yes. The people there, I always remember that, you have to be a friend first. Because the people there react to friends rather than, you know, anything else." And so Baba showed that he knows Latin Americans, for example, are very friendly people. So the feeling was that you see Baba giving this instruction to these, to his main instruments, giving the touchings or whatever. Then they talk to me, and then a few days later I confirm it, and it's like that. So I go to a place with the feeling that Baba's sending me there. So Baba's trusted me, little me, you know. Who am I so special to be doing such a huge task? So I didn't even worry that I arrived there with just $200 in my pocket and not speaking a word of the language, because Baba sent me there. You see? So if Baba sent me to a place, he knows how the things are, and he knows that so really, it's true. Things happened around that consciousness. And I really can't say that I had much to do with it, basically. Because Baba was touching this one, Baba was calling that one, Baba was bringing this one into contact. Baba was giving the inheritance to each one of them, and then they were creating their fortune, and I was watching it all, basically. So there wasn't any feeling that I did anything, especially. And of course, as you start to use this instrument consciousness, I would say, of course, a lot of mistakes, and then you feel the weight of that as well. Sometimes the connection wasn't so clear. Not many examples around in those days of how a center should be outside of Madhuban. There were a few students here and there. But again, watching the magic happen and gaining the trust of the seniors, I would say, too. And at the same time, gaining self-confidence. And that's a very big difference. You can't really have self-confidence, self-trust, unless you lend your qualities, give your qualities over to Baba's use, somehow or the other. Give your talents. I remember once I sang a song for Baba, and he said, after the song, he said, "Okay, give me your talent, and I'll give it back to you, purified." So for me, that was the definition of being a trustee. And not just with money or with a house or with your possessions or with your body, but even with your talents or qualities. Give them to me, and I'll give them back to you purified, so that you can use them not to call attention to yourself, but to use them for Baba's glorification. And when we, by trusting in Baba, that's one thing. And when we look at the drama going on around us, you know, the scenes and the plays, it's a sort of a different type of trust, related but at the same time different. Baba's on one side of us and drama's on the other. If I go inside, I go to Baba. If I go outside, I go into the drama. And Baba's told us to depend on him and not on the drama. And so whatever happens around us is a big play. Sometimes we become too serious and we forget that it's a play. You know, how can so-and-so do this and that? How can this happen? Why is this happening? As Baba's saying, when you question the drama, you're actually having doubts in Baba's knowledge, because Baba says that it's a big drama that's repeating. No? If you have doubt, you can't trust, right? You can't trust a scene of the drama if you doubt it. So one of the things that I've learned is, in a sense, acceptance of the drama. That wherever I am and whoever I'm with at any one time is where I'm supposed to be at that time, and my job is to see what I have to learn. It's not always easy, but the drama's going on all the time and we have to adjust to the scenes. You know, people, if you're complaining about the scenes around you, it's like saying to God, look, the drama's wrong. You know, I would like the drama to be happening this way, not the way it's happening. Or you start to say to the drama, please be different. But the drama will be what it is. And we just have to adjust. Baba often gives the definition of, gives three categories for the children. And related to the drama, there are three categories that I was thinking about the other day. You can be like a solid, or you can be like a liquid, or you can be like a gas. A solid can't move by itself. A solid is moved. So every time we say so-and-so is like this and this situation is like that and that person is like that, we actually are becoming solid and we can't move. The moment you define something, you've stopped to make effort. You know? How dare this person? And because we are quite generally from our, I would say, our cultural influences, we are brought up not to trust, basically. Apparently, until we're about 15 years old, we hear the word no at least 100,000 times. No, you can't. No, you shouldn't. No, no, no. It's not possible. No, no, no. So we grow up listening to no. And we have a sort of an emotional trauma with no's. For example, you're with somebody and they say, you ask them a very sweet question, they say no. That touches all of the hundreds of thousands of no's we've heard. And so we tend to wait and see if we can trust someone or something. Instead of going into the scene boldly, with full confidence that Baba's behind us, we go in timidly and wait and see what's going to happen. I was admiring, I was visiting one of our brothers who's in hospital, and Sister Vedanti came in to the room yesterday. And we all know the great things that are happening in Africa. You know how they've started service in 20 countries in 19 months. It's almost one country per month. It's not a city, it's a country, right? And there's a whole machine of service behind that, but what is giving it power is trust in Baba and trust in drama. And that's unbeatable. You know, it's like it gives us such a power to move through situations that everything starts to open up. Now, if we've become solid in our thinking and solid in the way that we define ourselves, my qualities are these and that's it. My limits are these and that's enough. I can't do more than I can. My job is this, my family is this, my center is that. Every time you put that sort of statement into your reality, you become again stopped. Everything is possible. Doesn't matter what your karmic situation is, anything is possible. People will cooperate. That's trust. Drama will cooperate. That's trust. Baba certainly will cooperate if I've got courage and determination. Oh, you can't get a visa for such and such a place. She told the story the other day that without being able to speak French, she just went in there. They were wanting money at one of the borders of one of these African countries to get the visa to go in. And she just went there and said, I'm doing God's work. And the immigration guy became scared and okay, gave the stamp. You see, the world is not used to such forthright people. So we've got an incredible push behind us called God, right? We're part of His plan. His plan can't go wrong. So, let's go. Baba's plan can't go wrong. Now, if I start to question what's going on, what am I doing here? You know, you become stopped like a block of concrete. Blocks of concrete can't flow with circumstances. So if you've built yourself into a series of definitions which are you believe are unchangeable, then you've stopped. I'm this sin, my senior is like that, my situation is like that, my center is like that, the people in my service group are like that. Stopped. I can't. I won't. I shouldn't. They're all permeated with the word no. And if no is there, you've stopped. Now what happens if you got a yes? Drama is saying yes, Baba's saying yes, service is saying yes, everything's saying yes, except you. Who's right? Is drama right or are you right? Is Baba right or are you right? These are the things that we have to ask ourselves. Most of us, over years, I've seen become, they sort of precipitate into a situation which becomes very convenient and comfortable. I've got my little house, I've got my little job, I've got my little things, I've got my little service, I've got my little mullies. Everything little, little. And of course, we just spend the time chasing our own tails. Moving around inside our own head. And the reality is very different from what we think it is. I don't know how many of you know anything about quantum physics. But the moment you start to define something, what you're trying to define is already being changed by your perception. So it's not what you're saying anyway. Yeah? I don't know if you could translate that, what I just said. I'll repeat it. If you're defining something, what you're defining is already changing in the act of defining it. So the definition doesn't work. He is like that. This situation is like that. And that's why, you know, we produce illness in ourselves and around us. Because we insist on a false reality. Drama is going on in its multifold and complex way continuously, and it defies definition. If you say someone is like that and then ask them, look, I think you are like that, will they agree? Baba said in the Mali recently, if you try to correct some teacher, they already come back with 10 points, right, about why it's not like that. So if you say so-and-so is this, you've stopped, and maybe they've gone on. Hands up those who are better than anyone else. No one. Hands up those who are worse than anyone else. Worse. You're worse than everyone else? No. Is anyone better than anyone else? Everyone's different. That's it. You can't say better or worse. How can you think, for example, the person that you put down and you say he's no good and doing it, at the final result, you go there to the wall and you're looking for your name and then you see his or her name and you see that they've got a better number than you. So who's better than who? No one's better than anyone else. Just different. And that's the big understanding of drama. Everyone has their own role, and within that role they become better or worse, related to themselves, but not related to me. They come closer or more distant to Baba. That's what they do. If you're closer to God, you are better than what you were. If you're more distant, you are worse than what you were. But we can't make comparisons. And therefore, if as Daddy wants us to give up waste thoughts by the 25th, if you give up comparing yourself with others, your situation with other situations, your center with other centers, your teacher with other teachers, if you give up comparing, you've already cancelled at least 50% of your waste thoughts. So this big secret of drama is that everyone is different, and they can only improve or get worse relative them to themselves and not to me. In fact, if I understand that what I really have to do is to become what I am, it's not something in the future or something in the past, but it's a state of mind that I can bring up. I haven't stopped being that original soul. I am that original soul. I've forgotten it. But the original state is here now, at this moment. And I just have to become it. So the idea of effort, you know, there's a goal in front of you and you're going there, you're trying to get there, that's an uphill drive and it's really hard, difficult, don't look back. It's an analogy, but the reality is, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. I have to become what I am. That's the reality. And so when we come to a question of trusting ourselves, that's very much the core of it. Because the original qualities, which in fact I would say self-confidence, self-trust, is a mixture of self-respect and self-esteem. Self-respect is when I realize what my true value is. Obviously I am a valuable soul if Baba has trust in me. That value I have to value. What Baba sees in me I have to somehow see also. And that, those qualities are there now. I don't need to go after them. So when I meditate, what do? I just become, basically. I invoke my original state. And of course in that state everything looks different. That's when Baba says, when you have a high state of self-respect and you look at a problem, the problem seems so tiny. And then he says that when you have a low state of self-respect, the same problem looks enormous. So it's not that the problem has changed. It's the same problem. But your vision and attitude relative to yourself have changed. So you can imagine, I'm a soul. I have these incredible original qualities. I spent at least half of my existence in the golden and the silver ages, and those sanskars are here now also. I've been through all of this, and not only that, I've been through it many times. So a high state of consciousness really is when you can see, yes, nothing is new, everything's fine. Everyone is fine, everything is as it should be at this moment. You know. There was a scene in Ecuador when Daddy was there last year, and she invoked, and it was very clear what happened, because there was a really nice Hindi song playing with a good beat, and so she got up and started to dance, right? And then she started to dance with the sisters, and of course they'd never seen anything like a 90-year-old woman, you know, dancing away, but with such power and such strength. And there was this new sister from Quito. And she suddenly, I don't know what happened, but she started to lose her breath, and we thought she was having a heart attack, you know. And so she had the collapse on the floor. We helped her put her on the floor. And she said, I've never seen anything so beautiful. The most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. So what was happening to her? The beautiful thing of this life was not there, but some deep sanskar of beauty was being touched, no? She became very, very emotional, you know? I think her blood pressure also did go up, but when we see things that remind us of our truth, that certainly should tell us who we are, right? If we go through a situation which reminds us of our truth, then we start to trust more in ourselves. Things, and then you start to think, well, somehow or the other, everything around me should remind me of my truth. That means I have to start extracting from situations true things rather than false things. And every situation has true things to extract. But if I don't feel good, I'll extract the false things, the false interpretations, right? What happens when someone is paranoid, for example, even slightly? They think that there's a conspiracy against them, you know, or something. The people are doing this deliberately to make me upset. It's not like that. We don't get angry with other people, we get angry with ourselves, and we think other people are doing it. We get upset with other people, we think that they're upsetting us. No, we're upsetting ourselves. And it's all because we're extracting falseness from situations, and that makes us think in a bad way. Those who were here the other day probably picked up on Daddy's point about bad thoughts as virus, right? The bad thought comes in as a virus and it starts to expand and expand and expand, you know. And then you create a book based on that thinking, first chapter, second chapter, third chapter, you go on expanding. And some people are stuck in bad thinking for years, you know. They weren't able to get out of the book that they created in their own minds. They're writing about a false reality to themselves. And of course, I've seen souls that after, every time you see them, they come up with the same problem, that they've been there for 10 years or 6 years or 5 years with the same difficulty, with the same people. I mean, and the people that they have difficulty have even gone on, you know. They've gone to another country maybe. Maybe they've even left Guyana and there they are still, you know, with that particular story going on inside their own heads. Now, if Baba's given us a throne, a place to stay in his heart, it's very different seeing the things from there than seeing the things from standing beside the throne. The same things you'll see differently according to your own sense of self-worth. And probably that's where most of us break down, in our sense of self-worth. What am I worth? What's my value? Think about it. What is my true value? And it's my value, not someone else's. How valuable am I to God? Another good thought. How can I make myself more valuable than I am? That I'm trying to be more valuable, but maybe there's a difference still. What are the tools that I need to use to increase my self-value? What I'm valuable to the world, okay, but how valuable am I to myself? You know, most of us have a lot of difficulties facing these sorts of things, yeah? Emotions get in the way. Feelings reign, and not this true perception. So, if I have trust in Baba and Rama and myself, there's one thing that I should be sure of, is that truth will always win and falsehood will never win. And so therefore I don't need to, as Baba says, if something happens and it's true and I know that someone may be accusing me of something, but I know that that's not the real deep truth of things. And I know that Baba knows the real truth, so why should I try to prove myself to someone? Not necessary. Truth will win and falsehood will lose, always. May take time, but it will always happen. Now, trust in others, that's a huge topic. I think that's a topic in itself. If you look at the world, what they define as healthy organization, one of the very first characteristics that they will use to define a healthy organization is trust. And I've worked many years in consulting as well as working in Baba's service, especially in the field of organizational development and strategic planning. But one of the things that you know that you have to do in that sort of work, some way or the other, to make the organization healthy, you have to reestablish trust. It's probably the main thing you'd go after. Because if there's no trust, things will not work properly. Now trust, there's trust in two things. For us anyway, as Brahmins, in Baba's organization, one's related to relationships and the other's related to the service that we do. And within trust, there are probably three characteristics that are interactive with each other. I guess the first one would be credibility. If you trust, if you want people to trust you, you have to be credible. That means you have to, if you say something, you should do it. If you promise something, you should deliver it. If you want to show something, you should be it. And that creates credibility. Now if you give something to someone, they lose it. You give something to someone, they lose it again. You give something to someone, they lose it a third time. The credibility goes down, right? And therefore the trust, in a practical way, goes down. The second characteristic that builds up trust is being fair, fairness. If you are fair with people, you don't have, you know, if you're in a position of trust within the yajna and you treat people fairly, then the people that you work with will trust you. Fairness means, you know, the ones that like me get all of the good jobs, the ones that don't like me don't get anything. That's not being fair. This one is new, but doing everything. And it has a better stage than this old one who's just plodding along in his efforts or her efforts. So I'll give everything to the new one and forget the old one. Or I'll give everything to the old one because he's an old one, and the new ones, well, there's no space for them. That's not being fair. So fairness implies impartiality, okay? Let's see what really is going on and what's the best thing to be done here. Without going into, you know, people like me, then they'll get everything. People that don't like me will get nothing. Or even people that are difficult will get less things to do, and people that are not difficult will get everything. That's not fair. Because we don't have the right to make that sort of personal decision. Baba knows what everyone needs and what everyone wants, okay? I'm just the instrument of that. So I have to administer Baba's feelings towards his children. They're not my children. I have to administer his feelings towards his children, not anything else. So it requires a degree of subtlety to be fair. And of course, the third characteristic that builds up trust is respect. You know, if you disrespect someone in public, will they trust you? If you tell someone in confidence something and they go and tell a third person, will you trust them? Will you? Difficult, huh? You probably won't say anything to them again, right? If you are in charge of something and you've delegated a task to someone and they've got a team, if you cut them out of the picture and go to the one of the team and say, look, do this, you've set yourself up for two big problems. That person will start to relate directly with you and not to the one who's in charge of that particular task. And you are responsible. You haven't divided the responsibility. So the manifestation of trust in service is the ability to delegate. So I think I'll talk a little bit about that. So delegation is from top down, but responsibility is from bottom up. Right? So when you delegate, you are also responsible. Not that you've delegated and that person is only one responsible and you can just fold your arms. Okay, the problem was his, not mine. You delegated. And we find that, you know, many of our centers are very centralized. Basically because of insecurity. If someone's centralizing things, there's probably a good dose of insecurity in that person. If you trust, you don't need to be insecure. If you are just administering Baba's feelings into the world and what he wants for service, you don't need to worry about how things are going to happen. But what you do need to do, if you delegate, first of all, you have to make sure that the person you delegate to has the information, the resources, and the authority to do what they have to do. Secondly, you should define a time limit, put a time limit on the tasks that they're doing. Thirdly, you should check it out from time to time just to see how things are going, not in an interfering way, not in a denigrating way, a defamatory way. Okay, you idiot, let me do. You've done everything wrong. I know how to do it. Get out. I've heard people say things like that. Of course, it doesn't happen in your centers, does it? That sort of thing. But it's a very great art, the art of delegating. It's not that you keep all of the good tasks and just delegate all of the horrible ones, right? You should make sure that people are also becoming creative and they are also growing. Because how will they learn to trust themselves if you don't give them a chance to be Baba's instruments also? And remember, they are Baba's instruments, not your instruments. This is more a message for the center coordinators, perhaps. They're Baba's instruments. Now, if you accompany them, the progress of what they're doing from time to time, in a friendly way, in a guiding way, then they will grow and they will start to trust you and they will start to trust themselves. If you do it in a bossy way, in an unfriendly way, they will not trust you and they won't trust themselves. And they probably won't volunteer for anything else where you're concerned. So you're defeating your own purpose if you do things in a bossy way. You'll probably have a lot of substitutions. Right? This person was no good. Okay, you try the task now. 5 months later, that person also can't handle it, goes away. Okay, next. Okay, and then you run out of substitutions. What are you going to do? And third, I think the last thing, if you're going to delegate properly, you've got to make sure that the person now knows how to start. Because many people say, yes, it's okay, but they're a bit afraid to start the task. So make sure that they know how to start. Those four things will make your delegation very much more simpler. Resources, information, authority, time. Accompany them and help them start off. You will build trust, definitely. So, when we There are a couple of other things that I'd like to share. One is, many of you may have heard of the story of Pygmalion. He was a Greek sculptor. And he made a statue of a beautiful woman that was so beautiful he fell in love with it. And the gods, feeling sorry for him, made that statue alive, and he married this woman called Galatea. Okay, but that myth became a synonym for what's called the self-fulfilling prophecy. That means if you believe something, probably it will happen. Let's say if you think that someone beside you is working with you is incompetent, probably in your presence that person will be always incompetent. Because your belief is so strong that it actually affects the way the other person works. So even if someone is not okay, but you believe that yes, they will make it, they will succeed, they will become great, they will become a great helper. Probably, they will become a great helper. Brahma Baba showed this. He involved everyone. Everyone. Everyone had something to do. And everyone was doing exactly what was appropriate for them to do. For their maximum growth. So if you have that attitude to the people that you work with, then there will be growth. You will create a healthy situation, definitely. Brahma Baba created a model called Madhuban, where you see that. All of the departments and all of the, even the brother in the lift, I don't think there's anyone happier than that brother who stands in the lift inviting us to come in to go up to the first floor. Om Shanti. So here we are in Madhuban, which is Baba's model, where everyone is doing what they should do appropriately and in a happy way. You've noticed that, right? The other day, I was going past one of the doors and the pocket of the kurta caught on the doorknob and it ripped it. So I went down to the tailoring department behind the bus stand. There's a tailoring, a small tailoring department. Brother, I've ripped my kurta. Can you fix it? Yeah, of course, wonderful. Here, give me. And immediately, with a big smile, did it. No questions. Everything is easy. Why? Because they're happy. If you're happy, everything's easy. You go to any department here. Big programs, and of course here they arrange programs that we can't even imagine arranging, yeah? Especially down in Taleti, 20,000 people. Imagine being in charge of the kitchen for 20,000 people. But everything easy because they're happy. Happy, easy. It's a big lesson. And how did that happen? Because Baba is behind the things and making sure that everyone is getting what they most need for their own growth. And we should pay attention to the model that's here. It is an atmosphere of trust. People trust each other. I have to get a ticket to Bombay. So the brother in the transport department asked, do you have a credit card? I said, yeah. Okay, bring it. I just gave him my credit card. He's there. doing. Why? Trust. He's not going to copy down the number and then suddenly afterwards, you know, start buying things for himself, will he? Impossible to even think that. But there is an atmosphere of trust. And I think if there's an atmosphere of trust, an atmosphere of power, as I said in the beginning, is practically the same thing. And this is our challenge in our centers, to create such an atmosphere of trust that things work properly in the best way. And everyone who's involved in the task, the ones closer to the task and the ones more distant, they can offer the best of themselves for Baba's service. And that's our task. We're instruments of making sure people bring out the best in themselves. That's all. We're not instruments to boss people around or to give orders or to become angry when things don't go wrong. We're not representing God when we do that. We're representing our own egos. And if there's a scale, you know, if there's ego, and it's interesting to observe this. If you have qualities, and you are egocentric about them, you know, you have Baba and has mentioned, in fact, this in the Mullis about the specialities that we have are not our specialities, that they're gifts that Baba's given us, right? But if we take them as my speciality is this, I'm a great organizer, I'm a great speaker, I'm a great whatever, those qualities or specialities cease to inspire others. But if you are genuinely concerned with the welfare of everyone, which is an atmosphere of trust, then those same qualities will inspire. It's funny, isn't it? So if you use virtues and specialities in an egocentric way, people will become jealous, they will become rebellious, they will go against you, because ego is controlling things and not Baba. But if I give those qualities and specialities over to Baba to use in his service, not my service, those same qualities will inspire others and not make them jealous. So if someone is jealous of you, what does that tell you about yourself? Huh? Ego. Ego. If you have a rival, what does that tell you about yourself? Any rivals for Daddy Janky? Anyone jealous of Daddy Janky, for example? No. Why? She's totally Baba's instrument. Totally. So, this whole thing of solids, liquids and gases, I'll take it up just for a little bit, then we can see if there are any questions. So a solid in front of an obstacle can't move, right? Because if you are solid in your thinking, you know, square, solid, cubic, this is this and I am that and this person is like that and don't discuss anything with me. There's the obstacle, but you are also an obstacle. In fact, that's worse when you are the obstacle, isn't it? And you're trying to find obstacles outside of yourself. You've become an obstacle for your own self and for others. People won't trust an obstacle. Now, if you're more liquid and the obstacle's there, what does a river do in front of a wall? What does the river do? Huh? Just goes around. The wall is there, okay. Just goes around it. So we have to be more fluid more flexible in the way we see ourselves and others. Anything can be anything. Anyone can be anything. Let people be what they want to be. You know, why should I try to control others? It's my job. Baba said that very clearly in one of the mullis this season. My job is to change others, not your job. Do you remember that point? Do you remember? It is my job to change others. It's not your job. Baba said like that. So there goes the other half of our waste thoughts. You know, if we spend half of our waste thoughts comparing with others, the other half of our waste thoughts trying to change others. If you don't compare and you don't try to change others, what waste thoughts are you going to have about others? Yeah. But Daddy said the other day, when you're thinking about other people's negative sanskars, they become your own sanskars at that time. Right? So who's right? Those same sanskars that are active in you. The sanskars that you condemn in someone else. At the time of condemnation, they are also active in you. So who's right? So we don't condemn, we don't categorize, we don't classify, we don't compare, we don't change. And then we are free from lots of waste thoughts. And of course, the solid is the obstacle. A liquid can flow around an obstacle, but a gas has no obstacles. It's light and free, floating around. A river liquid is still bound to the earth, isn't it? Has to stay here down. Has to crawl along. Even if it's flowing, it's still crawling. But a gas has no such limitations. It's just free. Free from its own waste thinking, perhaps. Free from any heaviness. Free from anything that would keep it dense. Yeah. So it's a good question, isn't it? Am I the obstacle? Do I flow around obstacles? Or am I free from obstacles? What do you think Baba wants us to be? Free from obstacles. Right? So anything you'd like to say or ask? Do we have another mic? Well, the sound guy's not here. So what's your question or comment? Well, I think it's a chicken and an egg situation. Love feeds trust and trust feeds love. I don't know which comes first, actually. But he asked, can love be used to build trust? Sorry, can trust be used to build love? And I said that I think they depend on each other. You can't really trust someone if there's not love around. And you can't really love someone that you don't trust. So, since love is one of the innate qualities of the soul, it's probably first. So it's a recognition perhaps that, you know, I love my role and I love what Baba's doing and I love the family that's around me, therefore I should trust them. I love this gyan, therefore I should trust the drama. You know, I love the transformation that's happening in my life, and therefore I love myself. So it's a little bit of interdependence there, you know. I don't think it's you do one and then the other. They should grow together, both sides, the love and the trust. Yeah. It's like we have 2 feet. We don't just hop along on one leg, right? So you love, trust, love, trust, love, trust. I guess when you start to walk, it doesn't matter which foot you use first, as long as you use both of them. Anything else? Tell the person next to you, what do you think you need more? Trust Baba, trust yourself, trust Dharma, or trust others? Tell the person next to you, in your own language, what do you think you need most? Trust Baba, trust Dharma, trust yourself, or trust others? A few minutes, 3 minutes. Okay, let's have some powerful love and trust-filled meditation until 12:30. Okay, right? Agree? Okay, pardon? We can have some powerful meditation filled with love and filled with trust until 12:30. Did you hear that? Hemlata Ben said that she usually uses the word blessed. Wherever she goes, she feels that Baba's blessing is there, the country is blessed, the people are blessed, and she's blessed. So, best is blessed. Who feels blessed? Okay. Do you feel that the service that's in front of you is already blessed? Already has Baba's blessing, right? Whatever you have to do that's in front of you, it already has Baba's blessing. So, what's the difficulty? It's a great point. Okay, let's have some meditation.